Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hey, Dustin Hockensmith, Greg Pickle here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. We are coming at you from the Labatt Blue Studio, Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. We're talking Penn State football for the next hour, looking ahead to the Illinois game, looking back a little bit at Kent State and our stock up, stock down report. Ask Greg is coming up a little bit later. Tyler Donahue from Lions 247 joins us to talk about the state of Penn State's program, especially with all those young guys who got a chance to play against Kent State and how it applies looking ahead to this weekend. I think some of those topics will come up in our stock up, stock down. Greg, I'm going to have you open up the bidding. Who's rising in your mind here? A lot of guys probably with a lot of points being scored.
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity to go first. To me, I will start with... there's a lot of guys you could go with first out of the gate here. Stock up for Ricky Slade. I think we know what we're getting in Miles Sanders, and he continues to be a consistent part of this Penn State offense. But I think the best form of the Lions when they have the ball is not just Sanders. It has to be somebody else, because you're not, I don't think, going to get the production out of him that you're able to get out of Saquon Barkley in terms of a large, almost 100% workload. So Ricky Slade bounces back from two fumbles at Pitt. One of them, of course, was challenged by James Franklin, and you could debate whether it was a fumble or not, but it goes in the stat book as one regardless. So I think it was nice to see him bounce back, because Penn State's going to need him, I think, to be a key cog in its offense all season long.
At what point do you go from scripted to unscripted when it comes to cycling another running back in? I'm sure going into a game that Ricky Slade, for example, or Mark Allen knows the third or fourth series of the game, it's their series. But I have to think that they respond to game situations a little bit more when you're in the second half. And especially one way or the other, if you're in a tight game, you're going to blow out. You know, when does Ricky Slade know and when does he not know that he's going in the game?
Well, I have to think that's something that Penn State thinks long and hard about, mostly because of the fact that you could always tell when Miles Sanders didn't know, you know, he was not his best self when he didn't know when he was going to go in, when it was just random variations and opportunities to go in. So I think Penn State probably took a good look at that and said, okay, you know, we're going to let Miles have a pretty good idea, and Mark Allen too, of when they're going to be used. So I just think if Penn State is doing that, it's showing off on the field. Again, the fumble is disappointing to at Pittsburgh, but he looked just as fine. He looked just fine in the win over Kent State.
I would say no player improved their stock, at least publicly. I'm sure inside the Lash football building, nobody's been down on DeAndre Tompkins, but fans have just been wondering what's going on with him, what's going on with Juwan Johnson, why so many drops. And that was another theme here against Kent State in the early going, but not from DeAndre Tompkins. It was the game he needed at the right time with Big Ten play coming up. Four catches, 101 yards and a touchdown. I think he had 62 punt return yards too, so he showed up in both those phases of the game, and I think it was good timing just to get him feeling good about himself going into Illinois, and then probably more importantly going into Ohio State in a couple weeks.
Isn't it amazing that if not for a holding call, that maybe we're not talking about DeAndre Tompkins in this way? Because the touchdown went to KJ Hamler first, called back for holding, and then the next one goes to next pass downfield goes to Tompkins for a touchdown. And I just think, you know, it's just weird how the game of football works out sometimes. You need a little boost. You need things to go your way a little bit. In this instance, they did for Tompkins, and you're right, probably the biggest stock-up guy of the week.
Another guy in the running there, Pat Freiermuth, who it's becoming pretty clear that, A, he's ready to play, B, he's not a redshirt guy, and C, he looks like Penn State's best tight end. And you got the sense, I think we've talked about this position going back, you know, winter, spring, you know, we've talked a lot about all the different positions, but the tight end position was one that we felt like, along with linebacker, that what you saw week one was going to change a good bit from what you see end up seeing in weeks 10, 11, and 12. And you're starting to see that transition, I think, at tight end, where everybody sees that Freiermuth is their best option. Mature for his age, which is really, really important when it comes to a freshman playing the tight end position, just because of the multi-dimensional nature of the tasks that they have to handle.
Yep.
But good blocker, shows glimpses of being a very good receiver as well. And he's three games into his career, and he is on a real upward trajectory.
Yeah, he certainly is. I mean, he's a guy that is going to, again, like we talked about on Monday's show, I don't think that Penn State's going to totally abandon John Holland and Danny Dalton, because that's just not the way they're set up to run. But I do think that Pat Freiermuth is going to become the guy that, instead of maybe getting 30 or 40% of the snaps, he's going to get 60 or 70 and maybe even 80, because he's proven, I think, that he's the best option for a number of different reasons. Explosion, athleticism, the ability to make plays happen in the run game with an equal ability to make them happen in the pass game. He does done a little bit of everything, and I think that that is going to get him more playing time and certainly possibly the starting job as well.
I'm going to offer up another one that I think seems pretty obvious, but Penn State's run defense against the Kent State team, yeah, I mean, I'm sure they're outmatched, and I'm sure in terms of in the trenches, they're going to have a hard time with Penn State's athletes. That's fair. But that's what they want to do. That's their identity, is to run, is to put the ball in the hands of a few different running backs, put the ball in the hands of Woody Barrett, who's gigantic and can run, and he's got a legitimate arm.
Yeah.
You know, I think that was a scary thing. James Franklin said coming into the game that Woody Barrett would be a quote-unquote problem. And Penn State handled that problem really well. It was their best collective team performance against the run, 41 yards. And Woody Barrett, you know, he had a handful of moments, and you're never really going to stop him from some of those broken play, scramble, run situations. But for the most part, Penn State did a pretty good job against a decent run offense and a decent quarterback.
Yeah. Woody Barrett was interesting to me because he definitely has an arm. There's no doubt about that. And he's a big guy, too. I mean, he is just a brick. He looks like he's just made of bricks. I mean, he just runs. He ran over a couple of Penn State defenders. I was impressed. And I think it'll do Penn State a lot of good to face this sort of competition moving forward. Because, again, it's not that they faced statues previously, but they were not facing a whole bunch of dual threat mobile quarterbacks. And now they are, and they did. And they took care of that pretty well, stayed in their lanes, and never really got beat or burned in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I mean, it's not often where you get a quarterback who can really put pressure on you in one way or the other,
right?
But to be able to do both of those things is a pretty rare thing for a quarterback. And you know, I thought, you know, one of the more underrated quarterbacks that they'll have seen all year was Zach Thomas from Appalachian State, who showed. I didn't see what they did this past weekend, but maybe this will go down.
Game was canceled because of the hurricane.
Oh, okay, that's right. They were playing Southern Miss. That rings a bell now. But you know, maybe Penn State's played a couple decent quarterbacks already. Good enough to prepare them for the Big Ten.
I don't know about Kenny Pickett and good in the same sense, but Jack Thomas certainly.
Zach Thomas.
Yes. Yeah.
Jack's probably great too.
Yeah, I would imagine so. We have to go find him out there. He's down the road.
This is the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're doing a little Penn State football stock up, stock down, coming out of Kent State, looking ahead to Illinois, and looking ahead a couple more weeks for the best single game RV value in Happy Valley. You got to check out gopsurv.com. Fantastic RVs that you can rent for individual games, free shuttle to the game, large projection TV, free Wi-Fi, and you can enjoy tailgating with 409 barbecue and wine, Shotzi's Jumbo Brats, and Labatt beer. Go to psurv.com for all the details. Still a couple RVs remaining for Ohio State. You can also check out the Keystone Sports RV as well, which is loaded with 409 tailgate club barbecue, a catered meal, and all kinds of good stuff. Check in with gopsurv.com for details. Let's transition to stock down. Is there anybody else stock up? Well, actually, let's not transition, because Sean Clifford, I gotta say, what is he, 4-for-4 in his career throwing now?
Yeah.
I think he was 1-for-1.
And then 3-for-3. Yep.
Connected with Matt Kapenhammer. Connected with for the longest play from scrimmage in Penn State history.
It's going to be a great trivia question 20 years from now.
I don't think
that record's going anywhere. And I don't think many people are going to remember that play. I don't know how many people even saw it happen. I mean, it was the end of a blowout. The crowd was heading out the tailgate. It almost felt like a blue-white game. And nothing, no reason. No, it did. It just, people were like, it's a nice day. This is a blowout. Let's go sit by the car and listen to it on the radio.
See, I feel like if you're a Penn State fan who is really interested in trying to figure out what you've got here, that was the most important part to watch.
Yeah.
Is to try to figure out and get a feel for where your program is, to watch all the young players play.
Right.
And that was a good moment. And really, I just believe, you know, what Sean Clifford looks like out there, not just the 4-for-4. He could be 0-for-4, but if he threw the ball the way he threw the ball, you know, on those handful of attempts, you gotta feel excited about the future beyond Trace McSorley and beyond Tommy Stevens as well. Trace McSorley, 5 touchdowns, 3 on the ground. Yeah. Not much more you can say there. I would say stock down for starters. Just early team discipline in that one. Penn State through 2 weeks was really the beneficiary of a lot of opponent penalties. Kent State came into this one heavily penalized as well. Penn State, you know, some holding calls. They had another pick play.
Yeah.
They jumped off sides a couple times early. They wiped, 3 long touchdowns off the board from sloppy play.
Yep.
It's something that, and really for James Franklin, it's probably cause for celebration to win 63-10 and still have a reason to yell at his guys.
Yeah, no question. I mean, he talks a lot about not needing a loss to have a wake-up call, and I think there were some wake-up call moments here. Stock down to me. Penn State's receivers sometimes have trouble getting open. I think that's why you see these pick plays happen. Because, because guys aren't necessarily getting open. But yeah, it was ugly. I mean, if the one against Pitt was maybe a little less ugly, and this one was definitely. Yeah, this one was. There was no doubt about it. I think that that's definitely one to keep an eye on moving forward. It's an interesting play design, and if you run it right, you might get away with it. But Penn State has not yet ran it right.
You can't run square. You know, you have to brush. You have to, you know, connect hips, whatever. If you're running square into the guy, you're going to get called for that every single time. It's just another little finer point of the game that wide receivers need to take care of. Juwan Johnson. Another quiet day for him. You know, this was a day where DeAndre Tompkins, as we discussed earlier, came back and had a big day. Had that day where he kind of stabilized himself in the minds of fans. Juwan Johnson not quite there yet.
Yeah, no, it's just I don't know if it's a consistency thing or what. And, you know, he's going to have one big game. Everyone's going to say he's back to normal. But I don't know. I think we need to see a couple out of him before we get that far down the road.
The thing about him last year was it wasn't a big play dynamic he brought, but it was the consistency in the possession game and, you know, his hands and all that. And it just hasn't been the version that we've seen so far. I still do believe in him, though. I think, you know, not he could have a day that brings him back and gets him pointing in the right direction. Maybe this weekend against Illinois. I would say also, if you're saying Pat Freiermuth is up, that means John Holland, Danny Dalton, Nick Bowers are all down because they're, you know, this was their opportunity early in the year to take advantage of their experience. I say experience. It's more practice experience than anything because of the way that Mike Gesicki dominated snaps. But Pat Freiermuth is where he is right now. That's not changing anytime soon. He's only going to carve out a bigger role.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, I mean, he's a guy that, again, probably is going to see just his snap count percentage go up and up and up, and Holland and Dalton down. And then I guess we'll never see Danny Dalton again. So
so that's it, our Penn State football stock report coming out of Kent State. Going into the Illinois game, and speaking of that, we're going to do a little look ahead, Penn State-Illinois, breaking down that matchup a little bit in just a moment. Hey Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.